I want to share a simple idea that that I really thought about for the first time, I think, just in the last very short while, number of days or most a couple of weeks, that relates not specifically to this parsha, but to these parshiot, and deals with, begins to deal with the imahot and the marechet of the imahot. And it's part of a much larger perspective, but we're going to focus particularly on this aspect of it. One of the things that runs through, and I've spoken about many times, one of the things that runs through the story of Sefer Bereishit, and to a certain degree, really of all of Tanakh, but especially of Sefer Bereishit, is the idea that the Eitz Hadaat, the chait of the Eitz Hadaat, is not the end of the story. That we have a long line of heroes and heroines who represent moving in the opposite direction of Adam and Chava and the chait of the Eitz Hadaat, doing the opposite of what they did, and to a greater or lesser degree, attaining opposite results. Okay. And this is really a major, major theme in Tanakh in general, and certainly in Sefer Bereishit in particular. And I'd like to focus on particularly Sarah and Rivka and their relationship to each other, relationship to Avram and Yitzchak, relationship of Avram to Yitzchak and Yitzchak to Avram, and how all of that fits together. So let's start off with something which the part that is building on the old, and then we'll go to more an expansion of those ideas. So to begin with, one of the most fascinating examples of this idea of correcting the mistakes of Adam and Chava, to my mind, one of the most fascinating examples of it is Sarah Imenu. And just to review quickly, some people may not review, but in any case, to just go over the some of the examples of the ways in which Sarah represents this kind of a correction of the mistakes of Adam and Chava, and the opposite results of the consequences of the actions of Chava, Adam and Chava in general, but specifically Chava. If we take a look, just a few examples. The first thing is that in Sefer Bereishit, in Chumash, we read about every single person that we read about, generation after generation after generation, right? For the 10 generations from Adam to Noach, and then from Noach to Abraham, we read about generation after generation that they have children, right? That's the common denominator besides being born and dying, is that they have children. The first person who we're told does not have children, right? If you take a look at the top right-hand side, Bereishit Perek Tet Zayin, V'Sarai Eshet Avram Lo Yaldalo, V'Lash Shivcha Mitzriyet U'Shma Hagar, V'Tomer Sarai Avram, Hineina Atzarani Adonai Miledet, Bona el shavchati ulai banem imena v'yishma Avraham l'kol Sarah. Shockingly, right, the last person you would expect to be in Akara, and Bereishit Rabbah already comments on this, why were the imahot Akaro, and gives a beautiful answer, but not for our discussion, and that is that the first person who is in Akara, as far as is recorded in the Torah, is Sarah Imenu. Very ironic. We go... And why is that? So in terms of the flow of things in Bereishit, the answer is very simple, because we have, if you look on the left-hand side, Hashem says to Chava, Elisha Amar, Harba Arbe, Etzvonech Beheronech, Be'etzev Teldivanim, Velishech Shukatech, V'huyim Sholbach. There is this onesh of Be'etzev Teldivanim, right? Childbirth is presented as an onesh, and therefore, we have the repetition of this idea again and again and again, ve'aldu banim uvanot, until we come to Sarah. Sarah is not subject to the curse of Chava. Right? Sarah does not have this experience of be'esev tal devanim. And lehevech, when she does have a child, it's not part of a klala, but it's part of a bracha. In Perek Yud Zayin, the next Perek, on the right-hand side, Perek Yud Zayin, we go from Perek Yud Zayin to Perek Yud Zayin. Vayomer Elohim El Avram, Sarai Yishtachal Utikrat Shema Sarai, Ki Sarah Shema, Uverachti Ota, Vigam Ratati Mimena L'chabein, Uverachtia, Vaitala Goyim, Malchei Amim Mimena Yiyu. We're told Uverachti Ota, Uverachtia, that when Sarah does have a child, after she's removed from the onesh of Chava and doesn't have a child, but then when she does, it's the direct result of the bracha specifically to Sarah, right? Sarah receives a child not as a klala, but as a bracha, not as an onesh, but as sachar. And whereas by Chava it says, be'etzev toldi vanim, by Sarah it says the exact opposite. And we go to Perikhav Aleph, when Sarah actually has Chavat Chok Asali Elohim Kol Shomer Yitzachak Li. It repeats again and again the idea of the Tzchok, which is of course the opposite of Eitzah, right? By Chava, it's Be'etzev Tel Divanim. By Sarah, Tzchok Asali Elohim Kol Shomer Yitzachak Li. By Chava, it says, and let's start with what it says by Adam, and then we'll go to Chava. By Adam, it says in Bereshit Perek Yom Pasuk Yud Zayin, Uladam Amar Ki Shamata L'Kol Ishtecha, right, that your chait emanated from being Shomea L'Kol Ishtecha, and therefore in Pasuk Tet Zayin, right before that, Chava is told V'Hu Yimshol Bach, right, that he will subjugate you, he will rule over you. By Sarah, of course, we find the opposite, and the language is a very pointed contrast. Whereas in Pasuk Yud Zayin says "Uladam Amar Ki Shamata L'Kol Ishtecha," here in Perchaval Pasuk Yud Bet it says "Vayomer Elohim Al Avram Al Yirab Inecha Al Anar Val Matecha Kol Asher Tomar Ilecha Sarah Shema B'Kola Ki B'Yitzchak Ikar El Chazar," as opposed to "Ki Shamata L'Kol Ishtecha." Here we have "Kol Asher Tomar Ilecha Sarah Shema B'Kola." And this, of course, in contrast to Vehuim Shalbach. So we find, really, both in terms of the chait and in terms of the consequences, we find the idea of the correction of the chait of Adam and Chava in the person of Sarah Imenu. Okay, right? That's the starting point. If we go further, we find something very interesting. The idea of taking someone as a wife, which is really, it's someone becoming the Isha, this is first found in Bereisha Perek Bet, is on the left-hand side, Bereisha Perek Bet, Pasuk Bet, Vayimen Adonai Elohim et Hatzela asher lakach min Adam li'isha ve'vi'eh el Adam, right? This term, li'isha, which becomes much more widespread throughout the Torah as we go on, but to begin with, we have a very interesting chain, and these are the original times that we have it. In Perek Bet, we have it by Chava. In Perek Yud Bet, we have by Sarah v'akacho tali li'isha. In Perek Chav, we have it by Rivka v'atihi li li'isha. Okay, I'm sorry, that's Avram describing about Sarah v'atihi li'isha. And in Perek Chav Dalid, v'atihi lo li'isha by Rivka, in terms of Yitzchak. Okay, that's in the right hand middle box there. Bereshit Perek Yud Bet, Perek Chav, and Perek Chav Dalid. We go from the description of the potential before the chait in Perek Bet, Pasuk Chav Bet. This is before the chait, the potential of Chava and how it's actualized first by Sarah in Perek Yud Bet, Perek Chav, and then in Perek Chav Dalid in connection with Rivka. Okay. So that idea that we have of living up to the potential of Chava before the Chait, that idea we find first by Sarah and it continues with Rivka. Okay, let's turn now to the two parallel boxes on the bottom or towards the bottom of side one of the page. Just like we find the idea of being an Akara, V'sarai esher Avram lo yadalo v'lash shavcha mitzvi v'shma hagar, that Sarah does not have a child until the special bracha. So too in Bereishit Perek Chav Hei, we go to the left, Perachav Hey in Breishit, we find Pasuk Chafal Vayatar Yitzchak LaAdonai Lenoch Ishto Ki Akarahi Vayatar Lo Adonai Vatar Rivka Ishto. The same idea that there's initially she's initially an Akara until she receives this special bracha from Hashem, with response to Tefillah. We find that in Perek Tet Zayin by Sarah. We find the parallel by Rivka in Perek Kaf Hey. Just like in Perek Kaf Aleph, and this is a major, major theme, I believe, in terms of Sarah and Rivka, that if we think about it, right, a very major theme throughout Sefer Bereishit, one of the major frameworks for everything that goes on in Sefer Bereishit, is the idea of the establishment of the lineage. We talked about this a little bit last time. The establishment of the lineage, the development of the Kuzari, Rav Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzari talks about how in Sefer Bereishit you have the idea of the development of this, of the genealogy that ultimately, from which ultimately Am Yisrael, the Am HaNivchar, emanates, but how this is a process of building that lineage, and that and really the whole concept of the bechira of who's chosen, who's not chosen. Again, we spoke about this over the last couple of weeks, and what's fascinating is that if you think about it, the individuals who guide and direct that bechira, who determines really the people who are going to be chosen for that special lineage of the Zera of Bnei Israel. So in the first generation of choice, right, of where there are children of the Avot and question who's going to be the next link in the chain. So we find that it's Sarah who is the determining, the guiding and determining personality in Bereishit Parakaf Aleph, Pasuk Yud through Yud Bet, Vatomer Lavram Garesh Hamazot VeBena Kilo Yirash Ben Hamazot Im Bni Im Yitzchak. A couple of pasukim later in Pasuk Yud Bet, Vayomer Elohim El Avram Al Yirah Beinecha Al Anar Val Amatecha Kol Asher Tomar Lecha Sarah Shema BeKola Ki VeYitzchak Ikar LeChazar. Right, Sarah is the one who leads and guides Avraham in making the right selection in terms of the choice between Yishmael and Yitzchak. Parallel to that, in our parasha in Perek Kaf Zayin, to the left, we go. Just scoot over to the left, left-hand column. So Bereishit Perek Kaf Zayin, we have the same thing and the same language, right? Just like we have here, Kol Asher Tomar Lecha Sarah Shema B'Kola. Listen carefully to the words over here. Perek Kaf Zayin, it is Rivka who leads and guides the choice between Yaakov and Esav, right? In giving Yaakov the instructions how to go about securing the bracha. And in Pasuk Chet, Va'ata B'ni Shema B'Koli. Right, echoing what we have by Sarah, Kol Asher Tomar Lecha Sarah Shema B'Kola, Vata B'ni Shema B'Koli, Lashar Ani Mitzava Otach. Lech Na Latzon V'Kach Li Misham Shnei Gidayei Zim Tovim, V'Ese Otam Matamim L'Avicha Kasher Ahev, V'Evet L'Avicha V'Achal B'Avor Asher Yivrecha L'Fnei Moto. Right, and this is just a snippet of it. We all know the story, of course, but what we have here is that clearly Rivka is the one who directs and leads the process of the selection of Yaakov over Esav, just as Sarah did with Yitzhak and Yishmael. Right? Parallelism, I think, is very striking, especially when you compare the language. We continue with Sarah on the right-hand side, and we have, of course, the famous discussion of without getting to the particulars of it, but basically the idea of how when Avraham feels that there's a threat because they're going to take Sarah and they're going to kill him and take Sarah, etc. Vahika Shark Ikriv Lavo Mitzrayma, Vayomer El Sarai Ishto, Hinei Yadati Ki Isha Yifat Mareat, Vahayaki Ruo Tacha Mitzrim, Vamru Ishtozot, Vagu Oti, Votaki Chayu, Imrina Achotiat, Lamani Tavliva Rev Raitanav Shibiglalech, a recurring event in the life of Avram and Sarah, as Avram says himself. And if you look in Bereishit Perek Chaf Vav, in our parasha, so v'yishalu anshei ha-makom l'ishto, v'yomer achotihi, ki yare le'mor ishti, pen yargani, anshei ha-makom al rivka, ki tovat marehi. It's almost word for word what we have in Perek Yud-Bet concerning Sarah. Right? V'hi ki archush lo sham hayamim, v'ashkev Avraham, v'ashkev Avimelech, Melch Plishtim ba'ar achalon vayar v'ine Yitzchak mitzachek et Rivka ishto. And we have the echo of Atomer Sarah tzchok asal li'elokim in Perek Chaf Aleph, which you have on the right hand side. Right? There's an uncanny resemblance between the story of Rivka and the story of Sarah if we pay careful attention to it. I'm going to try to put that in perspective in just a little bit. Okay, in Bereishit Perek Mem Tet, we have something which is a whole parsha in and of itself, a whole topic in and of itself, but just very briefly. V'yitzav otam v'yomer aleihem, ani ne'asaf el ami, kivru oti el avotai, el marash abristei afron achiti. B'mara asher bistei ma'amachbela, asher al pnei mamrei, be'eretz kanan, asher kana Avraham et asadeh meit afron achiti, l'achuzat kaver. Shama kavru et Avraham v'et Sara ishto. Pay careful attention to the description. Shama kavru et Avraham bet Sarah ishto. Shama kavru et Yitzchak bet Rivka ishto. V'shama kavarti et Leah. Right? Yaakov describes noli marat machpelah, and this is a very, very important point, which we're not going to get into in depth right now, but it's very worth noting. In the story of marat machpelah, one of the very, very interesting things is that if you read the pesukim carefully, starting in Chai Sarah, The focus is not so much on the Ma'ara. The focus is on the Sadeh. The Ma'ara is in the Sadeh, right? But the Sadeh is even more primary than the Ma'ara. That's how the Pshat Pesukim seems to go, repeatedly. And that's how what we have here as well, in the end of Sefer Bereishit, in Parsha Vayechi, that there's an emphasis on the Sadeh, and it's very much related. If you look at the imagery and the description, it's very, very parallel to the description of Gan Eden and the trees in the garden there. And here we have very clearly the idea that there's this parallel burial of Avram and Sarah Ishto and Yitzchak and Rivka Ishto. Let's turn the page. Rashi in Bereishit Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Yud Bet, this right hand top corner of the page. Rashi, well known Rashi, echoing the words of Chazal, Shema Bekola, right, when Hashem says to Avram to listen to everything that Sarah says, Lamadnu Shahaya Avraham Tafel Sarah Binviyut. It shows us that Sarah was superior to Avram Avinu in terms of Nevuah, which is an incredible statement. Think about it. And there are many ways of understanding what I'm about to say, what we're about to look at and what I'm about to say about it, but I'd like to present one way of understanding these Pesukim. There's a famous question that many Mefarshim deal with in different ways, and there are different explanations. L'aniyat da'ati, some more appealing than others. But in any case, we know that Rivka goes to great lengths to try to secure the bracha for Yaakov Avinu, right? She's very clearly determined that Yaakov should get the bracha and not Esav. And it's puzzling on the surface of it that at least in terms of what appears to be, or in terms of what's articulated in the Pesukim, the obvious ace that Rivka has, the most powerful weapon in her arsenal, that you would think she would have pulled out and said, it's open and shut. She has a nevuah, right? She has a nevuah that said to her, in Bereishit Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Vayomer Adonai La, Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, V'shnei lumim mimei ayach yiparedu, ul'om mil'om yamat, v'rav ya'avod sa'ir. Right? It seems to be very clear that the older one, right, is going to be subjugated by the younger one. The Rav, the older one, is going to serve the younger one. And that's echoed in the brachot of Yitzchak to Yaakov in the end of the day. And one would think that Rivka should have said to Yitzchak, sorry, but you're wrong. Hashem told me that V'rav Yavod Sa'ir. We don't find that she does that, at least not in the Pesukim. The fact that we don't find it in the Pesukim is not so significant, except for one would think that if she did, how could Yitzchak possibly have ignored that and gone ahead and tried to give the bracha to Esav, right? And one could say this in a number of ways, but I'm going to say it in one way that I particularly favor. Although there are definitely other ways that one could approach it. And that's the following. That it seems to me that we need to step back for a moment. You know that very often we have a machloket, let's say machloket between different Rishonim. Okay, in terms of halacha, but machloket. In the Gemara, not in the Gemara, but concerning the Gemara, we have machloket between different Rishonim. And one of the Rishonim will say, the Gemara clearly says, like what I'm saying, and we'll quote a Gemara, it's like, that's it, open and shut. And of course, if you understand the machloket, you understand that there are many explanations for why the other Rishon didn't say that. One of the many possibilities is that the other Rishon, despite being aware of that source that Rishon A is quoting, Rishon B is saying, that's not how I read the Gemara. That's not how I understand what it's saying. And very often what is, according to Rishon A, a source for what he's saying, according to Rishon B, is this, the same exact Gemara is a source for the opposite, right? I'm sure we can all think of cases like this. I know I can think of a lot of cases like this where the same source, right, there's a tshuva by Rav Avraham ben Arambam, for example. Tshuva Rav Avraham ben Arambam, where in the famous discussion of whether Rishut HaRabim, for Rishut HaRabim to be d'oraita, whether it requires Shishim Ribo, right? And in that discussion, so Rav Arman Aram was asked, the Gemara in the first parak of Shabbos seems to be black on white against the Rambam. Rambam seems to write the opposite of what the Gemara says. It's like everyone knows this is the Gemara and this is what it means and then what's going on. So Rav Arman Ben Rambam wrote back and said that it's very simple. The way, and I'm paraphrasing, it's not exactly how he said it, but essentially what he said is that you learned the Gemara like Rashi. If you learn the Gemara like Rashi, then it says black and white against my father, the Rambam. However, he understood the Gemara totally the opposite, and it's a source lehefech. In other words, the Gemara says, Gemara asks a contradiction between two sources, between two braitot, about whether the midbar is considered to be Rishut HaRabim or not, right? And the way that Rashi and Tosfos and those Rishonim understand it is, and then the Gemara answers, it depends on whether you're talking about when Bnei Yisrael were in the midbar, or when Bnei Yisrael were, or when nowadays when the midbar is empty. So the way that many Rishonim understand it is that, what does that mean? When Bnei Yisrael were there and there was Shishim Ribo, it was Rishut HaRabim. When the Midbar is empty, so then it's not Rishut HaRabim in HaTorah, right? And so the Rambam, who writes that the Midbar nowadays is considered to be Rishut HaRabim, is against the Gemara. It's the opposite of what the Gemara says. But Rav Rambam Ben Aram says, no, that's not how the Rambam understood the Gemara. The Rambam understood that it has nothing to do with Shishim Ribo. It means that when Bnei Yisrael were there and they had their tents there and all their cattle and their animal, all the stuff that they had there, and they were encamped there, so then it wasn't a thoroughfare. You couldn't just go straight through because there were all these obstacles in the way. So then it wasn't Rishut HaRabim in HaTorah. But nowadays, that it's empty, and you can just go through, then it's Rishut HaRabim, right? So the same Gemara, which says, Kambiz Machmenei Salfan B'Midbar, and Kambiz Ma'azeh, the question is, but which is which? Right? So the same thing over here. But I didn't lose everyone on that example. It's not critical what you got the example. The point is that these things happen all the time. If you look at the nevuah that Rivka is told, so Rivka understood correctly, and this is what I think it means, that Shaita Gedola, I mean, it's a parallel idea. I'm sorry, it's a parallel idea to Sarah being Avram being Tafel Sarah Beneviot. The same thing is true about Rivka and Yitzchak. You know, is that Rivka understands correctly V'rav Yavod Sa'ir, that it means that the one who is going to be chosen, the one who is going to have the superiority, is going to be Yaakov, the younger one. V'rav Yavod Sa'ir, the older one is going to serve the younger, right? And that's, you know, Gevir Lachecha and all of that. However, Yitzchak, I believe, let me back up a step. I believe that it's a mistake to think that Rivka did not tell Yitzchak about this nevuah. I think that's, again, I think that's a strange thing to say. Rivka, of course Rivka told Yitzchak about it, but what did Yitzchak say when Rivka told him?
Yeah.
Said that, I must have said it wrong. Let me try again. What does Yitzchak answer when Rivka says, but Rav Yavod Sa'ir, I have a nevuah. How could you go against what Hashem told me? Right? So the answer is very simple. Again, there are different ways you could say this, but the way that I like to say it is like this. That Rav Yavod Sa'ir, okay? So the Rav is going to serve the younger one, okay? So one could play linguistic games with it along the lines of Ibn Ezra, etc. Okay, that's how some people would like to say it, such as my wife. I would like to say it like this. Since she's not here, I get to do it the way I want. Here's how we go. We have a nevuah, we have another nevuah, an earlier nevuah, which is based on, should I tell you what she said? She says that again, it's along the lines of Ibn Ezra, that this could be read in either direction. But I think there's something even stronger that you can say. Again, she thinks what I'm saying is totally wrong. But I'm giving you the other possibility, which is that for Rabbi Avot Sa'ir, Yitzchak, this is how I imagine the scene. Rivka says, for Rabbi Avot Sa'ir, I have this nevuah that the Rav, meaning Esav, right, is going to serve the Tzair, meaning Yaakov. And Yitzchak, I think, answers as follows, which is a clever answer, but it's incorrect, which is there's another nevuah. There's a nevuah of Brit Bein Abtarim, right, where Hashem says to Avram Avinu, right, I'm just going to write the relevant parts, Ki ger yeh zaracha b'aretz lo lahem v'avadum v'inu otam arba meot shana. Right? The face of what Brit Bein Abtarim. So what does it say? That the Zera of Avraham, right, the Zera of Avraham is going to be subjugated. And therefore, I think Yitzchak's answer is, look, if it is going to be subjugated, who's going to serve, is the Rav, is the older one, what does that mean? That means that, right, it means that the Rav is the one who is the fulfillment of the Nevuah of Kigeria Zaracha Bertzalem Babadum Minu Otan, Arba Meot Shana. And therefore, I think Yitzchak would say, Lehevech, that same nevuah that you're quoting to tell me that it should be Yaakov, I'm going to tell you proof that it should be Esav. In any case, however we take the machloket here and however we understand the difference of opinion, one thing is clear, that it is Rivka and not Yitzchak who correctly either has or understands the nevuah of Ravi Avot Zair, and therefore, just like we have by Sarah, Lamanu Shaya Avram Tafel Sarah Benaviut, the Pesukim bear out the idea that Yitzchak was Tafiut in a parallel way. Okay? And that's the Kosher Tamar Lecha Sarah Shema B'Kola, as it's reflected in the idea of Rivka. Okay, so I'd like to take this one step further. In the beginning of Parsha Toldot, the very first pasuk, Bereishit Perek Chaf Hey, Perek Chaf Hey, pasuk Yutet, Ve'ela Toldot Yitzchak Ben Avraham, Avraham Holidet Yitzchak. Right. On the one hand, very simple pasuk, but very difficult pasuk. Number one, Ve'ela Toldot Yitzchak Ben Avraham, as if we don't know who Yitzchak is and we don't know he's Avram's son. And then the end is really superfluous. Avram Holidet Yitzchak. So we all know the Midrashic explanation for this, which is particularly coming to address these questions. As Rashi quotes from Chazal, Avram Holidet Yitzchak, Al Yidei Shekatav HaKatuv Yitzchak Ben Avraham, Muzikolam Avram Holidet Yitzchak. Lefi Shayu Leitzanei Ador Omrim Me'avi Melech Nitabra Sarah. Right, there were the Leitzanim who would say, ah, it must be that really Yitzchak is, that this child is from Avimelech, not from Avram. Sharei kama shanim shaha im Avraham. After all, Avram and Sarah were married for so many years, and lo nitabra menu, and she didn't conceive. And all of a sudden, she's with Avimelech, and she conceives. Ma sakash baruch hu tzar klaster panav shel Yitzchak domel Avraham. So Hashem caused it to come out that Yitzchak should look just like Avram. Ve'hi'idu akol. Ve'idu akol Avram holidet Yitzchak. Everyone testified to. Everyone agreed. Yes, Avram holidet Yitzchak. V'zeu shekatab kan Yitzchak ben Avraham haya sharei edut yesh Avraham holid et Yitzchak. Okay, so that's the drash, the beautiful midrash. But what's the pshat? So the pshat is very simple. The pshat is that throughout Tanakh, when we have someone, well, let me go back a step. Throughout Tanakh, whenever we have a narrative, whenever we have some story, there's always an individual, or sometimes a couple, but same idea. It's always an individual who is the person who the story is about, and everyone else is like objects in the story, not like a real person. When you have a transition from one main character to another, such as in the generations of the Avot and Imahot, so what happens is that person who now comes center stage is introduced in a formal way very often, even if that person's been part of the story as a bit player until that point. You understand what I'm saying by that? So for example, we've heard about Yitzchak and that Yitzchak is the son of Avram and all that before, but that was part of the story of Avram and Sarah. Right? That was part of the story about how Avram has a child in his old age, etc. Yitzchak is just significant in terms of the life of Avram. At this point, what happens is that it becomes a story not of Avram and Sarah, but the story now of Yitzchak and Rivka. And therefore, Ela Toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham, which is a formal introduction. And what's the first thing we need to be told? Not about the life of Avram, but the life of Yitzchak. Avraham Holidet Yitzchak. The first and most basic significant fact about Yitzchak is that he's Avram's son. Right? That's the most important thing about Yitzchak. In the Marechet of the Avot, the way it works is, it's very, very clear, and there's so much to say about this, not right now, that we know that in the Marechet of the Avot, the role of Yitzchak is to imitate, to continue, to extend, but to solidify what was accomplished by Avram. Not to pave a new path, but to continue and to imitate and solidify what he got from Avram. We get to Yaakov already, then we return to the idea of moving things forward in a more creative way. But this is the role of Yitzchak. Bresha Perak Chavav, Pasuk Yud Chet, again, our parasha, Vayashav Yitzchak, Vayachpor et Beirot Hamayim Asher Chafru, Bimei Avraham Aviv, Vayistimum Plishtim, Acharei Mot Avraham, Vayikra Lehen Shemot, Kashemot Asher Kara Lehem Aviv. Right? Yitzchak's role is to redig the same wells, to rename them the same names. Right? Yitzchak continues on. Avram was Kori B'Shem Hashem. Yitzchak is Kori B'Shem Hashem. Right? It's a continuation. It's an imitation, a continuation. And that's the role of Yitzchak relative to Avram. So, I'd like to just bring together everything we've seen so far.
Sorry,
just do this slightly differently.
It's easier to see.
This is really what I wanted to bring out. We saw how Sarah represents this idea of a tikkun of the chait of Chava, or to put it differently, a living up to the potential, right, of Chava as she was originally created to be, right before we have what she does wrong in the Chait. That idea is continued with Rivka. Rivka continues, we saw a whole lot between Rivka and Sarah, right on the first side of the page. Rivka continues and imitates the path of Sarah exactly as Yitzchak continues and copies the path of Avraham. Okay? And there's a parallelism between Avraham and Sarah and Yitzchak and Rivka, right? And the relationship between these two are parallel, right? Just as these are Yitzchak and Rivka are parallel to Avram and Sarah. Remember what someone was saying? Okay. And this is really, all of this that we've seen is really encapsulated in a very famous Rashi that we know. But I'd like to just explain what it's saying. Rashi, in the end, in towards the end of Chayei Sarah, in Perek Chavdal, Pasuk Samach Zayin, says as follows: Vayviyah ha'ola Sarah imo, Vayviyah ha'ola v'nasit dugmat Sarah imo. Yitzchak brings Rivka into the tent, and she becomes dugmat Sarah imo, in the mold of his mother Sarah. Kilomar v'harei hi Sarah imo. It's as if she is Sarah. She takes the place of Sarah. Shekol zman shesara kayemet. Haya ner daluk me'erev Shabbat le'erev Shabbat, ubracha mutzuya ba'isa, v'anan kashur ala ohel. Ukshemeita pasku, ukshebat Rivka chazru. So Chazal talk about, Rashi's echoing the words of Chazal, Chazal talk about the idea that Rivka takes the place of Sarah. Rivka is dugmat Sarah, right? Which is exactly what we're talking about here. And it's expressed particularly in terms of three things. Three things are the ner, daluk me'erev Shabbat le'erev Shabbat, the ner of Shabbat. The second thing is in terms of the challah, and the third thing is in terms of the ohel. Okay, and these are very, very deliberate. These images in the Midrash are very deliberate. These are, we have many sources for this, but just to give you one, Midrash Tanchuma, Buber edition, Parashat Metzora, but appears in many different places, also in the regular edition of the Tanchuma, elsewhere, also in many different Mamrei Chazal. The idea, and again, we're not going to go through it at length right now, but if you look, it talks about how these are three mitzvot that are particularly, especially given to women, particularly as a kapara for the chait of Chava. Lamanim Sru Lisha, second line, Amar Kash Baruch Hu, He Kivtan Nero Shal Olam, and they're skipping down to the next line, Lefichach, Tishmor Mitzvat Ner, talking about Ner Shabbat. The next is Chala, Amar Kash Baruch Hu, He Tim'ah Chalatosh Shal Olam, Zadam Rishon, therefore, We have Chala. The third is Nida. Amar Kash Baruch Hu, Amar Kash Baruch Hu, He Shafcha Damosh Ladam Rishon, and therefore Tishmor Nidata Shetichaper La Aldam Sheshafcha. And that's, of course, these three things of Ner Shabbat, Chala, and Ohel. That's the three things. In other words, encapsulated in this midrash that Rashi is echoing is the idea, number one, of Rivka taking the place of Sarah, right? Rivka being the mold of Sarah, just as Yitzhak is in the mold of Avram, but specifically in terms of this idea of correcting the chait of Chava. Right? Everyone see that? Okay, how this all encapsulated in this Rashi, in this midrash. And specifically, the area in which this is most expressed, the idea that Rivka follows in the path of in correcting the chait of Chava, and more importantly, in living up to the potential with which Chava was originally created, is really the fulfillment of the original role of Chava. The original role of Chava in Bereishit Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud Chet, Vayomer Adonai Elohim, Lo Tov Heyot Adam Levado, Eselo Ezer Kenegdo. That if we look at the story of Rivka, it echoes the story of Sarah, that both Sarah and Rivka, and is expressed particularly in terms of the whole central theme of what's going on in Bereishit, which is the development of the Bechira, of the chosenness of the particular lineage, that idea is carried. Rivka, like Sarah, trying to translate the Hebrew in my mind. they are movil. They lead. They direct this process specifically in the role of Ezer Kenegdo. The way they are Ozer. The way that they help and guide Avram and then Yitzchak is specifically through Kenegdo, through opposition, through disagreeing and challenging, and through that challenge and through that correction of what Avram and Yitzhak, you know, Avram is tilting towards Yishmael, or certainly to a certain, you know, in a certain sense, and the same thing is true, even more so with Yitzhak and Esav, and they are there to be Ezer Kenegdo. Their Ezra comes in the form of this Hitnagdut, in the form of this opposition, the form of this standing against and standing up to what Avram and Yitzhak were trying to do and guiding them in the proper path. And that's, of course, the correction of what Chava does when Chava leads Adam Harishon in the wrong direction and the direction which he was on his own heading for, instead of correcting and standing up and correcting and redirecting him in the correct direction. So that's, I think, a central theme in the story of Rivka and Sarah, a major aspect of the parallelism between Rivka and Sarah, and the way in which the relationship of Rivka and Sarah echoes that of Yitzhak and Avraham, which is kind of what we would expect in terms of the dynamics of these two couples, these two relationships that are primary in the beginning of Sefer Bereishit. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you. Thank you.